Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This world is a world of diversities and contradictions. If there is darkness, there is light. If there is day, there is night. If there is vice, there is virtue. If there is good, then there is evil. So it's filled with diversity. If there is honesty, there is dishonesty. If there is truth, there is falsehood. Man is required that in all this commotion, in all this confusion, he must work his way out. And Allah Ta'ala hasn't left this ummah stranded. لا يزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين على الحق. At no time this ummah is left stranded. There's going to be someone that's guiding all the time. It was Allah Pak's system of the Bani Israel. كُلَّمَا هَلَكَ نَبِيٌ خَلَفَهُ نَبِيٌ. Any Nabi passed away, he was succeeded by another Nabi. So there was any problem, then they referred to the Nabi and they continued their lives. And in this ummah, Allah Pak says, or Nabi Sam says, La Nabiya Ba'di. There's not going to be any Nabi after me. But then this ummah has to continue till the day of Qiyamah. And they have to continue with that. They have to continue right till the day of Qiyamah. Then what will replace this Nubuwat? There was the Nubuwat. Problems arose, they would go to the Nabi and he would tell them, alright, this is the way that you would go. So in this ummah, as a substitute for the Nubuwat, Allah Ta'ala has kept the consensus of ulama-i kiram, righteous, pious, learned, experienced. They've got one consistent pattern right throughout their lives. They are moving in the style of the elders. So there is a consistent plan right throughout. There was Nubuwat. You got a problem, you refer to the Nabi, and there it's cleared up. Here there is no Nabi, so there has to be some substitute. So the substitute is the consensus of the ulama. When there's going to be this consensus, and this consensus will be as though a divine approval. Because of the hadith, لَا يَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمِينَ. There'll be a group that will be standing firm on the truth. So it's been endorsed by the Nabi. When it's endorsed by the by the Nabi, so they got a divine endorsement. لَا تَجْتَمِعُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ. My ummah will not agree, they will not all get together on error. There may be one person that is left, departed. One person, second person, he's gone off. But as an ummah, for them to connive on a wrong, to agree on a wrong, it won't happen. Right? So now, how are you going to make out that what is the consensus of the ulama? The common person, it's difficult for him to find out what is the consensus. Right? If he wants to employ his own mind and find out the consensus, sometimes, not always, sometimes it may be difficult. But the easy way to check now what is the consensus, what is the agreed decision, then is to see what the ulama in the past did. Right? They came in a certain way, and now we're seeing the ulama presently, they're conforming with the ways of the old. So this is right, inshallah. They're keeping to the same principles, the same system of the old. Then, alhamdulillah, we continue with them. For example, in the past, we all heard of photography, all was wrong, right? So if one, two persons, they say, no, photography is right, then we look at the ulama of the past. All are on one way that photography is not right. So a simple yardstick is to see what was done in the past. And this also is borne out. مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مُسْتَنَّنْ فَلْيَسْتَنِّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ. If you want to follow a way, then follow the way of those that have already passed on. Because فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. The one that is still alive, then you don't know that he's going off the course or he's on the course. So the easy way, the easy gauge, is to look at the way of the ulama of the past, what they agreed upon. If you see someone is doing this, someone is doing this, now your mind is not very clear. When your mind is not very clear, then instead of you speaking out and wasting your time in what this person is doing and what that person is doing, then don't waste your time in doing that. Like you'll find in every movement sometimes there is some differences, there is some problems that come about. Then you'll have two groups. In fact, you'll have three groups. One group will be that will follow the personality, come with me, wrong or right, but I must follow the personality. That's an extremist group. I must follow the person, no matter what he says. If he says right or wrong, whatever he says, but I must just follow him. That is one extreme, that's wrong. Because the guarantee, the endorsement is not on an individual. It's on the entire ummah, that they won't go wrong. Right? An individual can go off, but the ummah, the ulama of that ummah, they will not go off altogether. But that one person can go off. One, two persons, three, four persons, they can go off. So when that any individual is not being endorsed, then you cannot say that I am following him because of this reason and that reason and that reason. You can't say that. So this is one extreme that you will say, no, I will just follow the person no matter what comes. Right? And you'll get a second group that will show disrespect, that will criticize, will condemn, will speak evil, right? Now, that group, you'll find, they have dedicated themselves only in condemning and criticizing and speaking wrong. Anyway, they find anything. Their whole business is just to condemn, criticize, run down, smash down things. So they have made that their business. They have made that their livelihood. Now, in condemning, criticizing, running down all the time, that's your main theme of your life. Anything you find, I just want to condemn, run down, smash down. Whether you investigated the truth or you didn't investigate, half a truth you heard something and one fact you heard and you just took it and you moved with it. So what happens? You hear half the truth and you go with it. So that half a truth can be more dangerous than a falsehood. Falsehood, what you can make out, it's false. But this is half a truth, and that half a truth to make out whether it's true or false is very difficult. And in this age, this is one of the major trials, that we go with half a truth. Anywhere there's half a truth, we just hear it and we move with it. Then we discover after some time that this was half a truth. Right. And this half a truth comes about many a times also. It comes about because of our limited understanding. Our reasoning is not right. Two youngsters now, well educated, quite educated. I'm just going to show you one half a truth, right? So one youngster is saying to the other youngster, that, do you like to be called a Diobandi? So the other youngster, both educated, both have been to university, whatever. So they got some degrees, whatever, against their names. So this youngster says, no, what's wrong in that? If I've been called a Diobandi, then what's wrong in that? So this one tells him, that means you're confining Islam to Dioband. Now see the reasoning. You're confining the entire Islam into Dioband. So do you like to confine the entire Islam into Dioband? Now you see how he's misconstruing half a fact. So one, the fact is God, but the fact is not complete. But it's not complete now. How he can mislead you, how he can misconstrue. So to make him understand, I explained to him that, see, if someone says that I am a Hanafi, is he confining the entire Islam into Hanafiyat, to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi? He says I am a Hanafi, so it means he's confining the entire Islam into Hanafi, into the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. No, he's not confining it into Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. What he's saying, in matters of jurisprudence, right, in controversial matters of jurisprudence, then I will follow and I commit myself to the decisions of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. But it's clear cut, we just have to continue. The Quran is clear. Perform namaz, it's clear. But where there is some type of a controversy, some contradictions, right, and the facts are not absolutely clear, then I commit myself to the decisions and the verdicts that were passed by Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. So is there any problem with that? So I didn't confine the entire Islam into this, in controversial secondary matters. Controversial secondary matters. Then I will commit myself to the way that Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, or to the decisions and the verdicts that he has taken. Like someone is reading Ameen loudly and someone is reading Ameen softly. Right. So you will find hadiths to, or on both sides you'll find hadith. There's a hadith that is saying that recite the Ameen softly, and there is a hadith that says recite the Ameen loudly. Now, I don't have the brain, I don't have the time, I don't have the knowledge to work all that controversy, all the contradictions, I don't have the time. Because in one-on-one masala, sometimes it will run into literally hundreds of pages. And after you have read the hundreds of pages, then to make a decision, is it easy? If to take a decision for everybody was easy, then everybody could have been posted to the positions of judges. But you know how difficult it is to be posted as a judge, right? And then too, in this day and time, the judge is, who can see the judge right? In most places, who can see him right? Who pays the most? And you saw him, you bought him off. Right? Now, when you look at these imams, you look at their personal life, very, very personal life. In a judge, you don't look at his personal life. You just look at his decisions only. You cut him away from taqwa, taharat, his righteousness and virtue. But when you looked at Imam Abu Hanifa, etc., then you looked at deep into their personal life. When you look into their personal life, then you saw anything that was inconsistent, anything that was wrong, anything against righteousness and virtue, anything that is moving towards falsehood, anything that was ambiguous, you didn't find anything. So you looked at him at his reasoning, you looked at him at his verdicts, you looked at him as his personal life, his public life, in every respect you looked at him. After you looked at him in every respect, then you said, now I'm appointing him as an imam. In a namaz, you don't disappoint anybody as your imam. Now you hear, alright, he can recite the Quran Sharif well, but he's going to the casino as well. And sometimes he goes around with his wife, and the wife doesn't have a proper hijab. She doesn't wear an abaya, and she's moving around. Now, can we appoint such a person as an imam? People will have their reservations. Obviously, they'll have a reservation. Should we appoint, and can we appoint such a person as our imam? So similarly, when you are talking about someone that is giving leadership in all controversial matters, not just one, so that person must be a very, very profound, very, very reliable imam. Can't be just an ordinary person. But now see how, when this discussion is taking place, both are graduates of the university, and both are discussing this, right? Until one person took the trouble to come and ask me, how do you work this thing out? So that's a simple question, simple answer, but now his mind was so confused. Like someone says, oh, he's a tablighi, right? So can you say that he's confined the entire Islam into tabligh? Can you say that? Or someone says, for example, he's murid to, for example, Maulana Yunus Patel, sir. Can you say now he's confined the entire Islam into Maulana Yunus Patel? In matters related to the purification of the soul, he is referring to Maulana Yunus Patel, sir. So now, one is to say it correctly, And one is to say half a fact or misconstrue the fact. But when you misconstrue this, then you mislead people. So in this entire work, entire deen now, you need some type of a direction. So I said, when there's a problem around, then one is to just follow a personality, irrespective of whatever it is, I'm going to just follow. That's one extreme. And the other extreme is now to condemn, criticize, run down, to make that your business. That also is a waste of time. What do you get out of it? In any magazine you talk about, there's a controversy. There's a fight, talking about fight now. Well, then what happens to that magazine? Then you want some entertainment, then you look at that magazine, you look at that newsletter, you know, let's see who's catching it now, and who's being smashed down. Oh, he caught it nicely, this person, huh? Mashallah, he caught it nicely. But imagine how dangerous it is. A Muslim is being smashed down and you're saying mashallah about it. How dangerous is it? You made a deen an entertainment. Perhaps you had a personal vendetta with someone, right? And when he got smashed down, you began to rejoice at the time of his being smashed down, at the time of his calamity, you rejoicing. So I ask you, have you done anything good for your deen? So this is another extreme. When you hear something and you entertain. So this is one extreme, this is another extreme. And the right way is alright, there's a problem now, we see a problem around us. Right. So we're not sure about the personality. So let's leave the personality on side. We're not sure about him. So we'll take him like a Quran Sharif that has been printed, but with errors, right? So when it has been printed, but it's printed with errors, then what is the right thing to do? We respect it, leave it in the shelf, don't follow it, and we continue our work. As simple as that, right? We respect we won't disrespect the Quran Sharif. We won't, na'uzubillah, show any type of dishonor to the Quran Sharif. We will respect it, leave it in one place. But we will not recite and follow that Quran Sharif. Why? There was some errors in that Quran Sharif. So we will just keep it aside and look for a Quran Sharif that is straight, that is clear, that's got no errors. So it was such a simple thing. But then, as our ulama kiram say, that you don't have someone to guide. Then your mind is guiding you, shaitan is guiding you, or the nafs is guiding you. One of the three is guiding you. Your mind, shaitan, or the nafs. And in such simple ways, shaitan can just topple you over. Just create a confusion in your mind and just derail you completely. So I started off this talk today by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. The world is a world of controversies, a world of contradictions, right? A world of diversity. In this diversity, Allah wants you to find your way. Otherwise, if there is no challenge in this world, then what are you here for? You are here because you must get some challenge, get some trial, work your way out and get to your Jannat. That was the whole idea of this world. But it was absolutely no trial at all. Absolutely no trial. Just got up and you're going straight to Jannat. Right. There was no challenge, there was no trial at all. So Allah Ta'ala has made it filled with some trouble, some problem, some trials, someone big troubles, someone small trials, someone mental problems, right? Someone physical problems, someone emotional problems. So you must go through it. Ayyub alayhi salam had physical problems, right? Whole body, some ailment, whole body. And Yaqub alayhi salam, emotional problems. He's separated from his son. Over 40 years, emotional. Imagine your own son, dear, near son, is like the cherry of your eye because of the promising colors that he has seen, the dream that he has seen. And now he's separated over 40 years, lost his sight in that grief. So emotional problems, you see. So someone is going through physical, someone is going through emotional, right? So these problems will come. Any person, for that matter, he must go through that problems. Otherwise, as I say, then how are you going to earn your Jannah? There's no problem at all. How are you to earn your Jannah? But now the question is this, that We do understand, all right, that we have to find our way. And in finding our way, there will be some challenges before us. But now show us some way in all this commotion, all this commotion and confusion, show us a way now how we can get to our goal easily. So the Quran says also is saying, you must do it, right? See, in the first surah, Surah Fatiha, right? The Quran Sharif. So look at it from Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim is, right, the complete sunnah, the perfect sunnah, right? The Quran doesn't just say Ihdina Sirat, show us the way. Not just the way, but the complete way, the perfect way. So the perfect way, there can't be anything as perfect as the complete sunnah. Can there be anything more perfect than the perfect sunnah, the complete sunnah? Not just the sunnah, but the complete sunnah. And you got a turban worn, and you got the trouser above the ankles, but you're making ghibat. So I say, do you have the complete sunnah in you? You got your turban alright, you got your trouser alright, you're not making ghibat, but you're looking at what you're not supposed to be looking. Have you got the right sunnah in you? You don't have the right sunnah still. Or you got both right, you got the eyes right, you got the tongue right, but there is a deep-rooted pride in you. You think of yourself too much, think too much of yourself, and despise others, right? I say, have you got the complete sunnah? You got some aspects of the sunnah, you haven't got the complete sunnah. So that is why Allah says, Sirat al-Mustaqim. Not just the path, but the complete path. Because, and why you need to have that complete path, is because you want the ultimate, right? With death, you want the ultimate jannat. Just, you know, as your eyes close, and you must have the ultimate, you must have the best. In life also, if you can afford it, then you want the ultimate, right? The house, then you want the best house. Car, then you want the best of cars, right? If you can afford it, you got hundreds of billions you've got, then I don't want to play around with small Corollas. It's something good now, relaxing, enjoyable, all the features, full house. Huh? Right. Every year I must upgrade and update. Right? I got so much now. If I'm not going to use it, who's going to use it? Right? So, for life also you want the best. Right. Then the logical thing is, for death also you need to have the best. And why not do you need to have the best after death? Because for life, it must end. No matter what good you have, but it must end. And that is not ending. It is continuous. So if you didn't do right then, right, you didn't do right for after death, then your regrets will be continuous. Because that life is continuous. If you didn't do right here, you'll have some regrets. Hey, I should have done this, I should have struck this bargain here, played this one here, opened that type of a factory, you know, I would have done so well. Right, I could have some regrets, but with death, the thing finishes off. But if I didn't strike for the ultimate, for the hereafter, then the regrets will it be for a year, 2 years, 20 years, 100 years? No, then the regret will be always, hey, I should have just done a little more, just a little bit more, I could have got the ultimate. So why not the ultimate for the ultimate home? Why not ultimate for the eternal home? This is a temporary home, so we want the ultimate here. Then that eternal home shouldn't be looking for the ultimate best. You want the plane and the best of planes. In the hadith it is reported, right, when a person dies as a martyr, there's two hadiths. One hadith is that the martyr, he is given the names of those friends and relatives of his that are to join in very soon. In a year's time, 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 1-2 days time. And they get so excited, so thrilled about, hey, he's coming now, he's coming. All the backlog will get up. Huh? Not the backlog of the panchayat now, please. Huh? But those deceased, they are rejoicing, hey, this man is coming now, when is he coming? They're so eager to meet him. Right? That is for the shaheed. So also he's going to come and join us, so we get all the backlog, all the dunya, all the khabar will get it. And the next hadith says that when a person dies as a shaheed, right, then Allah gives him a body, right? Type of body shall obey. Then with that body he can move around. Anyway in Jannat, wherever he wants, he can just move around. Move around. Eat and enjoy, drink from the rivers of Jannat, eat of the fruit of Jannat. And then after that, he can park under the chandeliers of the arsh, of the throne. Allah Pak, join us into the rank of the martyrs, bhai. People ask silly questions now. Many times you get, the woman is getting married for the second time. So she's asking now, okay, which husband I'll go to, the first one or the second one? Then you get now, this week, I don't know how many questions came like that. Okay, in Jannat, everybody will be fair in complexion or black in complexion. Now you don't know what to answer these people here, because if you say anything, you say racist, racist. So I tell those people, by first endeavor to get into Jannat. You try to get into Jannat. Once you get into Jannat, then you'll get the complexion of your choice, whatever you want. Then you don't have to say black is beautiful and all that. You don't have to say all these things here. Then you'll think differently. You will think differently, you will see differently, you will understand differently. But you're not working to get to Jannat. From now you're already thinking that you're already booked in Jannat, you already got your place. It's just a matter of complexion now. Right? First work to get into Jannat. Therefore, a bewakufi. That's why I said you get one group of people whose time is just wasted. All stupid things. Discussions, whether they write or whether they read things also. But in stupid things, mad things. Things that don't bring you any benefit. No dunya, no deen. So look at this verse, Sirat al-Ladina, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Then Allah Pak says, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. He's saying to us, that you see, this journey you will not manage yourself. Because as a human being, you are gregarious, right? Gregarious, right? You want action, you want movement, you want to go around, meet up with people, all that, right? So now, when you want to undertake this journey to Jannat, so you're saying, Allah Pak, the journey will be a little bit exciting. I must have some company, some people around, some action, moving. You can get the Jannat parking one side of the masjid and making zikr, right? But how long will you last? You'll get that exceptional person who will sit on the one side and he'll carry on his work, right? You come after 40 years, he'll still be at the same point. But the majority of us, what happens? We want some action, some movement, some work. And then we feel complete, we feel fulfilled. So that's what we're asking Allah, give us a group, you know. Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim. That we will feel motivated all the time. My Ustad, Abdul Rahman Rahmatullahi, he was an Hafizah, but he gave brains for ulama. Brains for ulama. That is how Allah enlightens someone's heart. When his heart is enlightened, then even ulama can take inspiration from him. So he says, you see, when you have to get your door right, then don't make your door right with a person who's equal to you. He must be better than you in his recitation, in his knowing the Quran Sharif. In every respect, he must be more than you. Because the person that is your equal or less than you, you can just hoodwink him, isn't it? But if he's a proper sound Qari Sahib, every small mistake, fine mistake, he'll catch you for it. Every small thing will catch you for it. So the same maxim can be applied, same analogy can be applied in our lives of righteousness. When we need to join, we need to join someone that is more righteous than us. Not at the same level, or not lower than us. Because if it's at the same level, we'll feel complacent. Alright, we are the same, you know, all are the same here. So you take as a deep friend, then that friend that is going to be more than you, a couple of good steps ahead of you. So you think to yourself, hey, I need to catch up with this person here. I need a company, but someone that is far better than me. Or the person is more or less like me. He's only wearing kurta and topi, that's all. I only wear kurta and topi. I'll say my deen is complete. But he's wearing kurta, topi, and he's reading tahajjud. Say, hey, I need to get up here. And he's wearing tahajjud also, but you never see him hanging around making ghibat and talking nonsense. You don't see him doing that. Or he'll laugh and joke, but you never hear him making ghibat, all that. So, see, if I need to be in this person's circle, then I can't be doing this. So, like in the hips, to get your hips better and stronger, then you need to be around a person that is better than you. By the same token, in your deen, when you need your deen to be stronger and better, then you need to be around a person that is better than you. Not at your level or not lower than you. You can constantly receive inspiration. But then again you say, Allah Ta'ala, you know, in life, as I said at the beginning, it's full of contradictions. Contradictions, confusions. Because Allah Ta'ala has opened all the roads. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ Allah Pak has opened all the roads. Righteousness has opened the road, and evil also have opened the road. So Allah Pak didn't force anybody on anything. He's opened all the roads, he's open to you. So when the roads are open, like will have those people that will support you, will secure you, will protect you, will encourage you. Right? You need someone to support. You need someone to secure you. You need someone to protect you, to take care of you on this journey. Don't you need all that? And because the roads are open, then you'll have hijackers that will hijack your iman, that will hijack your spiritual self, that will hijack the righteousness within you, that will steal and rob you of the virtue, that will cheat you in the good works that you are doing. They will cheat you. They will lead you through treachery. But in the name of goodness, in the name of righteousness, they will cheat you. So there will be those that will encourage you forward, will take you forward, and there will be those that will hijack you, that will rob you, that will cheat you in your iman, that will cheat you in righteousness. That you're not doing any wrong. Don't you hear so many parents coming up and complaining, my child never looked at a porn, but I don't know, he joined up with one boy, I don't know what he's doing now. 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's just looking at some things. I don't know how to correct him. One lady phoned up a couple of things, 1 or 2 weeks ago. So I'm afraid of my child's iman. He's looking at all his social network and all that. And the mother got to know about it. And the next moment she says, I'm afraid of my child's iman. How he's dressed, the type of people I see on that site. I'm afraid of the iman of my child. So you see the hijackers on the road. You see the rogues on the road. You see the thieves on the road. All these type of them. I say, no, my child is perfect. We're doing jamaat work. We're doing all these things here. But now suddenly this child has just slipped and he's gone into this. But which was the point? So you need the protection and you need the security. You need that person that will encourage you, and you need the protection against that person that will rob you and cheat you and hijack you. You need all that all the time. Now, I gave you the broad outline, right? The broader outline. But then how do you define, how do you make out now who is that person that will direct me? I need to go Jannat now. I'm on the way now. Standing on the highway, right? And I'm looking for a lift to Jannat. Right? Now, how must I make out that this person is the right person, he'll take me to Jannat? So Allah Pak says, I know your problem, right? That you're standing on the highway, you want to go in the right direction, you stood at the right point, but you need to have the right person to give you the right direction. Because you can't make it yourself. Right? If everybody was able to make it himself, what would Allah Pak have done? Allah Pak wouldn't have created parents. Because everybody is able to do everything himself. So when everybody is able to do everything himself, so do you need parents? You don't need parents. You will have just rain them from the skies. So he said, no, even for your physical self, you'll need parents. Your spiritual self also, you need parents. In your education, you need tutors. Physical education, you'll need tutors. Yeah. In your secular education, you need tutors. In your spiritual education, you need tutors. You can't do it yourself. But now, how must I make out that person that will take me to Jannat? So Allah Pak, in about 10 places in the Quran Sharif, Ibadur Rahman, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la ta'kulu riba, qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Look at all these ayats, in the muslimin or muslimat. At-ta'ibun al-abidun al-sahimun. So you'll find all these verses, Allah Pak will give you the description of those people that will take you to Jannat. They will give you a lift to Jannat, right? When I say lift, literally, they'll make it very easy for you. As though they did all the hard work. I say, bhai, just join us now. Just join us. They did all the work, they paid it up. All you need to do is listen to them and you'll move on. Ye bhi koi mushkil kaam hai? Is this also difficult? Like you look at the forerunners of any work, Tabligh Jamaat, look at the forerunners. As though Muhammad Ilyas did all the work he did it. And then after that he said, hey, just follow these 6 points and you will be in the club. We'll take you to Jannat after that. Don't you see that? You see, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah is though he did all the work, all the spade work he did. When he did all the work, he says, now, you just come onto the dastarkhan, just enjoy. But see that you eat like how I tell you to eat. Eat these things here nicely. You will come right, you will go, you will reach up the same place. You see, as more Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah, and all the matters of tasawuf and ease, lined it out so clearly, absolutely clear. So they have prepared all those vehicles that will lead you to Jannah, they have prepared it. But then they are asking, are there any takers? Are you coming to our dastarkhan or not? Are you coming to the party? Or you will remain off the party? For a physical party, we can move to Cape Town also. Someone got a dawat there, walima, we can fly over to Cape Town. Even to Dubai, there's a walima there in Dubai, we can fly over to Dubai. But our spiritual food, for our spiritual food, can we make some movements, some adjustments? Ultimate. You know, life is just one chance. You know, no second chance. It's one of the things, unfortunately, just one chance. You make it or you break it. One of those things. Everything else, business, you fail, you can come up again. You fought, you can reconcile your differences, right? Everything you can make up again. But life, just one chance, no second chance. Just one chance you get in life. So now, how do you make out, how do you determine which is that class? So in this verse here, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la ta'akulu riba. Allah is starting off from the physical self, right? Because if the physical is right, then it will inspire you towards the right. If the stomach is right, the inspiration will be towards the right. If the fuel is clean, then it will take you correctly. But if it's dirty and filthy, then will it give you that mileage? It will be just taking out smoke. It won't give you the type of mileage that you desire. So that physical self must be right for it to give you the right type of motivation. So the first thing Allah is saying, لا تأكل الربا أضعافا مضاعفا. Don't take this usually. Usually simple, it's not a complicated definition. Any benefit on a loan, right? Any simpler definition. Any type of benefit on a loan. Repayment of a loan, and I must, for the 1 rand, I must give 2 rands. Benefit on the loan, right? Or, you gave me a loan now, you gave me a loan. 100 rands, or 1 million rands, you gave me a loan. So I give you a benefit of the loan. How? I give you a lift. Oh, hey, Chacha, I'll give you a lift, man, you know. In the car, I see you now. Chacha, you know, don't take a walk, I'll give you a lift. So I'm giving you a benefit on the loan. On the 1 million that you gave me, so I'm giving you some benefit. You gave me that 1 million, so now I got a walima, any party, anything. Chacha, you must come to the party, yeah? But before that, that wasn't our relationship. Now suddenly when you gave me that money, now the relationship increased, so I'm inviting you. So there's a benefit because of what? Because of the loan. Any benefit that is coming up on a loan, it's all interest. So get the stomach right. La ta'akulu riba. Stomach is right, everything will go right. La ta'akulu riba adhafun mudafa. Because this thing is such a thing this thing is. Like the Quran says, لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان. When that haram gets into your system, then your reasoning goes off. The right seems wrong, and the wrong seems to be right. Before, the wrong seemed to be wrong, and the right seemed to be right. But now, in that corporate environment, to flirt with that girl seems like, you know, it's like a very honorable thing. To compliment her, you're looking very smart today, you know. And not to compliment, they say, hey, like, this person is very backwards. He's not keeping up with the times. Because we're living in a corporate environment. Jahil kahike. All jahalat they're living in. They're living in all stupidity, in jahalat, in ignorance. And they feel that we are very, 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 very advanced. I ask you, isn't this a fact? That in any type of a corporate environment, you must be around, talk to them nicely, cheer up, be casual with them, entertain them. Respect them means must compliment them. Hey, the lipstick is looking very nice today. What are you saying? What is the next movement? What is the next movement now? In other words, lips to lips. That's what you're asking for. What else you ask? What else you asking for? Understand? So now that becomes the wrong seems right, and the right seems wrong. So every wrong will seem to be right, will appeal to you. Insurance will appeal to you, casino will appeal to you, talking freely to girls will appeal to you. But the right thing, that your wife won't appeal to you now. That halal wealth won't appeal to you. Staying in your house, making zikr, Quran Sharif, that won't appeal to you. The wrong will appeal, and you will lose the appeal, the attraction for the right. That's the first thing will happen. See, لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. Shaitan has struck you now. When he struck you, your mind is gone off. You think you are bright, you think you are smart, you think you are right, but you've gone completely off. So the first thing that Allah Pak says, by get the stomach right. Then the second thing Allah Ta'ala speaks about, Kazimin al-Ghayz wal-Afina anin nas. It's human for us to get disappointed, to get angry. Someone said something, disgraced us, embarrassed us, robbed us, cheated us. Isn't it natural for us to get hurt, to get worked up? It's natural. Allah Pak knows that, but He set you over the trial. He said, I want to see now who can restrain his anger, his ego, his pride. Hey, I want to give it to him. Verbally, or whichever way, I want to give it to him. But Allah Pak is saying, Kazimin al-Ghayz, that you want to restrain your anger. You want the best of women, isn't it? So Allah Pak says, you restrain your anger at the time that you have the possibility, you got the ability to exercise your anger. You can tell the person, you can hurt the person, you got the strength to exercise your anger, to execute your anger, but you restrain because of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak will say, which hoor you want, just take. Take the one of your choice. Bichare, budde bhi jawan ho jayega. Old men also will become young. But Allah Pak throws you that offer, even the old will become young. I'm telling you, really it'll make you young. Or Kazimin al-Ghayz, right? But you pay the price. Allah Pak is saying, pay the price, take it. Bye. I'm going to throw the challenges. You pay the price. Don't worry about your white beard, but you pay the price. You want to get angry, just hold your anger. Number two is, well, afina anin nas, and you forgive the person. Now, time is short, let me just leave you with one hadith, you know. Normally we say, hukukullah, hukukul ibad. Don't we say that? The rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of people. But here Allah Pak starts off with the rights of people. Then he talks about his rights. What is the reason? Two reasons come to my mind. One is this, that if you're so conscious of the rights of people, then how much will you be concerned about the rights of Allah Ta'ala? Man is insignificant. What he can do? He can't do much. Right? But if you're concerned about the rights of people, then how much will you be concerned about the rights of Allah Ta'ala? Number one. Number two, most of the fights that take place, controversies, problems, fights, disputes, is because of not fulfilling people's rights. You robbed them, cheated them, trampled their rights. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will announce, the announcement that He'll make, we are those people that have a claim against me. They have a claim of their rights against me. Normally we have a claim against people, or Allah Pak has a claim against us. Here Allah Pak is saying, you have a claim against me. Where is that group of people who have a claim against me? Where is that people? Now that class of people will get up, who had forgiven people, overlooked their faults, their trespasses, they had pardoned them, they had forgiven them, they had forgotten everything. So Allah says, these people, bichara, these people here, they didn't only restrain the anger, they didn't only forgive, but they had forgotten and they replaced the wrong with good. You were impolite, but I was polite. You was rude towards me, I was respectful towards you. You forgot that. So Allah says that you got a right over me. Going to Jannah without hisab. Go. What an easy price. I say this world is to pay the price. Pay the price and take it.